Good. I would like to begin by thanking you for praying with me and for me for that ministry that I had yesterday with the Kiambu County Pastors Fellowship. A good number of us came. The Moriongis came. Mrs. Job came. Teresa? Yeah, thank you. James came. Geoffrey. Of course, Kemaru came, although he was hosting, so we can't say he came. And even for those who did not make it, I'm really grateful for praying with me. About 170 or so of them came from virtually every sub-county within Kiambu County. And I spoke a very simple word to them, and there was a connection right there. There was a connection. You must have heard me say earlier on in the year that I feel free in my heart to begin to reach out to other ministers' forums. And I think this was one of them. For some time now, we did not interact too much with other ministers' fellowships for some reason. Maybe God was giving us time to build foundations here. Oftentimes, moves of God are born in obscurity. Oftentimes, moves of God are born in the manger. They are not born in the palace, even though every move of God ends in the palace. As God's kingdom gets to be displayed. And I think for the last five years or so of the formation of Grace Table, the Lord just allowed us to fellowship among ourselves so that we can build a pattern, a model, a structure, and all of that. But we now feel we want to engage with other forums that have their own pattern, they have their own model, and interacting with them does not mean in any way we dilute who we are or what we are doing. It just means we go to add value to what they have as we also learn from them. And I learned a lot from just being there for those 3 or so hours, watching those bishops interact with each other, watching them receiving me, watching them raise an offering to fuel my car, and all of that. I learned many things, and watch them honor us in what we're doing, and we're so grateful to God. Of course, the door opened through Samuel, and that's my prayer actually, is that each one of us who is in this forum can, through their influence and contacts and connections, make way for us to bring this grace to many other ministers' platforms. I don't think that being in Grace Table means you cannot have fellowship with other ministers. I think that for the very vision that we have in Grace Table, many of us need to engage with other ministers, other forums, because perhaps through that, like Samuel did, you will influence them in making certain decisions like who to invite to come and speak. And just that one appearance, just that 1 or so hours of speaking yesterday, I think a seed was deposited. A seed was deposited in some of them, and of course I want to do the necessary. After speaking in a public platform, the next thing we now do is not look for another speaking appointment with them. After meeting people, get their contacts, then now look for them one-on-one. And I'm going to have a lot of tea with those bishops. And luckily for me, I live in Kiambu, so I actually asked them if I can be a member of that fellowship, and they said, yes, I can be a member. And I'm being strategic, because there are some men who have a key to accessing 100,000 people. There are some men, and like Hosea said, when you touch present truth, you don't take men for granted anymore. Even a donkey, even an old man, even a backslider, God could use Rahab, a prostitute. God could use a Samaritan woman. She was not a very straight lady, but that's the one God used, because we need people. We need people. And I believe as Grace Table now, we have to be very deliberate about how to engage the rest of the body of Christ. We have to come up with a strategy and a plan and a program on how we engage the rest of the body of Christ, beginning, of course, in our areas of influence and our cities, and then seeing who else God will open a door for us. I was recently preaching in Mumboni, somewhere in Mwenge, through one of us again, Bishop Philip and his wife Rosemary. And this all began on the day we ordained them. And in the ordination, we did what we believe ordination should be. We are not very keen on how much oil we'll pour on people, like we are keen on what prophetic words would come through. I would personally not, from the understanding I have now, I'd personally now not be keen to ordain anyone if I don't have a prophetic word for them. I'm not keen now to lay hands on anyone if I don't have a prophetic word for them or faith that when we lay hands, a word will come forth. So the preparation now to ordain people, the preparation is not getting the gowns ready and getting the bottle of oil ready. The preparation is in prayer, asking the Lord, what kind of a man is this? Who is this? As soon as we hear who he is, with or without a ceremony, we'll call him or her. And that's about what happened for Philip and Rose that did last year when we ordained them. And quite a number of prophets were with us, Hosea was with us. And I asked them, anyone who has a prophetic word, it's no longer all pastors come, let's lay hands. It's not that. Space is too small. But anyone who has a word for them, come. That's all we did. So a few of us came and spoke to their lives. And there were ministers from the area called Mumboni who were present. And they heard the things that we spoke. And I'm doing this deliberately. I'm trying to demonstrate something now, which is a reality. You know, we have to redeem some of these practices like the laying on of hands that we call ordination. Ordination should not come because somebody somewhere feels that they need to shift in terms of rank and status. But ordination is a platform, public platform, on the which the prophetic word concerning a person's ministry and destiny can be spoken. Because anyway, until the word is spoken into the earth realm, the word does not wage war on behalf of the person the word is being spoken over. So when we say that God was opening a door for them in Ukambani, that God was sending them back to their people in Ukambani, and that God was going to use them to open a door for the apostolic message, some pastors were present from that same area. And they were able to bear witness in their own hearts also. And then I think a month or so, we were on our way there. That's the day we had the accident, to go and meet not the two pastors, but this time there were 12 of them. We found them meeting in a church. I think it's called Global Vision, something international. And we got held up on the way. We had an accident and spent 6 hours dealing with that whole matter. Instead of meeting them around 9 in the morning, we met them at about 4 that afternoon. But they were there waiting. They never even took lunch. They waited till we got there and we shared lunch. Of course, 2 months after that is when we went in last year, December, to Mumboni. And we were able to engage those pastors, bishops, and other ministers that we met in that place. And we took them the same grace we share here. Maybe a little bit of repackaging and a bit of we had to use some wisdom in, you know, in disseminating and in sharing out the word. Just the basics. Just the basics. Just to begin to introduce them to the very grace that we've been sharing here. And then an amazing thing happened. In that meeting, I never knew that we were hosted in a full gospel church. And you know, full gospel are very strict about doctrine, about who preaches on their platforms. So this pastor who was hosting us has a boss. I think a regional overseer or something, who also came to the meeting. And he seemed to have talked to their presiding bishop about the good thing and the good word and the good spirit. And as we speak, the presiding bishop of Full Gospel Churches of Kenya now has sent word that he would want us to meet. And, you know, that man, just one man, he has a key to 200,000 people in Ukambani, if not more. And so, while as moves of God are born in obscurity, they must be brought to the palace. While it, moves of God begin in insignificance, apparent insignificance, but every move of God is going to influence, like Hosea said, it's going to influence society and how life is lived in the earth. All this to tell you that the time has come for Grace Table to be like the leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of wheat, and by that began to influence that wheat. For 5 years, which is the number of grace, we have received so much. Do you know that the things we have taught here for the last 5 years is such a deep resource, you can go anywhere and preach to anyone, literally. Even if you did not get the message, just read the notes. Just read the notes. And I think that's why I recently felt like compiling all the notes of the things I have personally taught in Grace Table and come up with a compendium of all those manuals, I mean, all those notes and handouts. I mean, I've taught many things, pictures and all of that, PowerPoint, and just make it available to us. And so that if you want to pull out like what I was teaching about building the house, you can just go in there and pull it out. If you forgot your notebook and you want to teach on the 4 faces, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, the face of a man. I think I want to do that personally, make it available, because many in many places need to hear the things the Lord has been giving to us. We have not been just hearing things for our own sake. We are custodians of the grace of God. We are custodians of the grace of God. And everything we have heard, like Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, whatever you have heard from me, make sure you commit it also to other faithful men. And while as I don't want to sound like I'm telling you, so go away, we are closing Grace Table, I don't think that's what we're doing. But I'm saying as we hear, we need to go home and speak. And one of the ways to do this is to get involved with other ministers. Let's not just close ourselves in Grace Table. It's not wise. We cannot influence without going forth. We cannot influence without applying the principle of representation. Let's get involved in the various pastors' forums, pastors' ministers' forum, wherever possible. Of course, you may need to pray because there are now very many. You may need to pray and ask the Lord, which do I join? I'm aware about some of the towns where you have more than one pastor's fellowship. So you may have to pray and ask the Lord, which of the many do I need to get involved in? But whatever happens, let us now interact on a serious note with the body of Christ, with a mind, with a view, to bring an inference on many. Praise the Lord. That's key, and I thank God for you, Samuel, for fronting my name to those bishops, and I hope I represented you well. And anybody else who want to get me invited any place, but please, ministers' forums. I don't think I want to come for just any other meeting. I think I'm deliberate about this. I want to minister to ministers more. I realize we don't have much time. I can't minister in many revival meetings now. I just found the little remaining time and energy. If we touch the leaders will touch the brethren and revive them. Is that okay? So I'm very keen on coming to any ministers' forum. I know we are coming to Kitengela soon. Later on in the year, I know we are coming to Gashie for a pastor's breakfast, I think. And later on, we'll have a tent meeting. I know we are coming to which other place? coming up soon. That way, we think we'll touch many more lives. We also believe in God for strategic relationships and connections with some of the people that we meet in some of the places that we go to. I'm personally praying right now for a strategic connection with Bishop Margaret Wangari, who I preached for the other day. We have invited her also to come and speak in one of our conferences in Kiambu. And we're not just trying to trade back invitations. We're not trying to pay her for inviting me. Not at all. We're just trying to see if a relationship can come forth. Some of them take very short time to form. Others will take forever. But whatever the case, that's what we are thinking now. We are thinking that, we're thinking like Peter, that for you to bring the whole catch of fish the Lord brought you into your boat and into the market and feed the nations, you cannot do it without some others who are in another boat, who first of all must be, because Peter and had a brother Andrew was not meeting James and John for the first time that day. They were coming from the same village. So there was some level of acquaintance. There was some level of friendship. And then that went into some level of covenant. And that's why Peter could trust them with his own fish. Because this was his own miracle. It was not John's miracle. It was a miracle. And for you to ask a man to help you catch your fish and put some of it in their own boats, that's another level. It's not just friendship. That's covenant. And we are open for that sort of a thing to happen. Of course, that's going to adjust very many things for most of us. Some of us will find ourselves busy now, ministering beyond the fountain, the grace table circles. Some of us will get invitations even into other apostolic networks and streams and flows. Some of us will have to reach out to certain people deliberately. Some of us will buy people a cup of tea. We're trying to forge relationship. And thank God for the many hotels now we have. Thank God for the many hotels. They are all over. You can take tea with people just near them in the convenience of their home area. So why do we do this? We do this because we understand we are trustees of grace. And this grace now must be committed to other people. I'm hoping that when I go back to Kiambu, I can be a little bit more. I was general yesterday. I was helping the ministers to deal with burnout, which is a reality. I thought that's a good place to begin with them, burnout. All of us suffer from or have suffered from or might suffer from burnout in the future. And I thought that was a good place for me to connect. That was bread. That was no structures. That was wine. But I'm hoping if I go there next time, we can begin to go to some specific aspects of the grace of God. We can begin to go to some certain depths, if the Lord allows and the Lord permits, to that. Of course, it looks like what works best is to have breakfast. Looks like breakfast works for pastors. And so if it be the strategy, then let's get ourselves ready and host breakfast meetings in different places. Maybe Thika, maybe Kasarani. There's a hotel called Stardom. Maybe, I don't know where you live. But of course, we cannot go to a place without what is called a waterman. And for us to infiltrate any area, it will require that you who lives there be like the host. So we don't look like we are bombarding the place, but rather it will look like we have been invited to the place. It will look like a Macedonian call, not a holy invasion. In the first phase of the apostolic, we were invaders. We invaded territories. But in this phase now, we are being invited into territories. And you don't have to have the biggest church in town for us to come. You just need to be a genuine man. I told you that the value of a seed is not in how big it is. It is in how genuine it is. You just need to be a genuine man of God, having a genuine church. Don't have to have the biggest church in town. And then when we plan and invite and trust God, the people will come in big numbers. Yesterday, the bishop said that the Monday church was full. He said that was quite a good attendance. And I think those kind of favors will be extended to us in many, many places. So today I want to begin what I would call the 2018 series of teachings. The first two or so Sundays we were just dwelling on generalities. But I have the first series of teachings of God's Word for this year, and I want to begin with the first one, the triumphant church. So I'll be teaching for some time now. And maybe the word teaching is not the right word. Okay, I'll be teaching, yes. But I want us to study together. I want us to interrogate this matter together. I want us to study. And the literal that we'll share when we come for the next couple of maybe weeks or months should become the trigger for you to go home and do further study. Like the Bereans in Acts 17. They would attend Grace Table, but then go home and study. Take it even further. Evaluate what was spoken. Check those scriptures that were referred to. And that's the attitude we have built in Grace Table. Grace Table is not a place for spoon feeding. Neither is it a place for motivation. We drop a seed in your spirit, then you go home. And water that seed, you go home, pray about that seed, you go home and study some more. And I think the reason why the Lord will have us begin on this subject, the triumphant church, is because I have no doubt in my mind, that the church, even in its weakest state, the church, even in its weakest state, is always the strongest corporate man in the earth. The church, even when the church has backslidden, it's always the strongest corporate man in the earth. So listen to this. Whether standing or falling, the church is supposed to be triumphant. The church, even in its weakest, state, in brackets, even when backslidden, it is always the strongest corporate man in the earth. Tell you this, the church, even when it is backslidden, is more righteous than the world. The church, even when it is backslidden, is more righteous than the world. So triumph, victory, dominion, must form the mindset of the church. I pray the Lord will open our eyes to see really what he thinks about the church. He never thinks that the church is a lethargic group of people that hold monotonous gatherings that sometimes are empty and all of that. Our unbelief, our sin, and unrighteousness could lead to such manifestations. But as far as God is concerned, the church is not any of that, that we sometimes become because of our unbelief and our failure to walk with God according to his word. So as we study, you're going to come to the grand realization that what we call church today is not what God called church when Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 18 said, I will build my church. It's just like when God said, let us create man in Genesis 1 verse 26, man there, the Hebrew word is the word Adam. It's God who named man and said, let's create man So when God said, let's create man, Adam, that man that God spoke to create Adam, the Bible calls him Adam. That's the Hebrew word. And Adam in Hebrew means a person of a lower, I'm waiting for those who have heard me share this, finish for me, of a lower degree. Adam is a person of a lower degree. Let's create a person of a lower degree. And that Adam, that person of a lower degree, is what the church is. The church is a person of a lower degree. And I'll explain these things. Of course, when you hear the word lower, it sounds like someone who is of a lesser value, like secondhand and all of that. But I'll explain these things. So when God says, let's create man, a person of a lower degree, the word lower implies comparison. So God is saying there's another person in place. Now we are creating another one, but then the other one must be of a lower state than the one who is. So what does God mean in saying, let's create man, Adam, a person of a lower degree? He was actually referring to himself. Let's create a being that is only a little lower. That's now what Psalm 8, and we are coming there shortly. That is only a little lower than we are. Let's go to Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than, of course, the English translators put the word angels, but that's the wrong translation. The Hebrew word that they translated as angels is not malaki, which will be the word for angel. This word here in Hebrew is the word Elohim. But they couldn't understand, the translators couldn't understand how the psalmist could say, you have made him a little lower than God. Those days, they did not have that kind of understanding. Talking about the 16th century, King James. And they changed what we should be reading. What we should be reading is, you have made him, verse 4 says, who is man? Let's go back to verse 4, read it together. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? See, the psalmist is a man. And he's one of those, David is one of those that God was mindful about. He's one of those that God would visit. I mean, David had such breakthroughs in life, like a man killing a bear and a lion barehanded. A man killing Goliath. He couldn't do so unless the Lord visited him, unless the Lord empowered him. Yet he looks back and says, and what is man that you are mindful of him? Son of man that you visit him. Let's go to the next verse. For you have. Now, why he is amazed is the fact that God has made man a little lower than Elohim, not angels. Elohim meaning God. What is man? You have made him a little lower than yourself, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And please, when you go back home, study Psalm chapter 8. It's going to be a very key psalm for us in this series of teaching. Another, yes. Okay, give us the American Standard Version. Hosea has some revelation there. Let's have a look at it. From verse 4, ASV. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him but little lower than God. Oh, then you have been reading the Bible more than me of late. Eh? You seem to know it before I... For thou hast made him but little lower than God, and crownest him with glory and honor. This verse of scripture gives me foundation enough to share with us about the Triumphant Church. And that's the church I want to be part of personally. I'm tired of the defeated church. I'm tired of the church that is so defeated and so afraid of Satan. I'm tired of the church that made Satan a member. A church that must talk about, in fact, they talk about Satan before about they talk about Jesus. When they gather, the first thing is to bind every spirit. I'm tired of that church that is so conscious of the presence of evil than we are conscious of the presence of good. I personally believe that I'm going to be triumphant in 2018. Amen. I personally believe our church is going to be triumphant this year. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man has conceived the things that God has prepared for us. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe God will give us his word that will reinstate the mindset of triumph and victory. And here it comes. So when God said, let's create man, Adam, let's create a person of a lower degree, God was comparing man to himself. So here it is. You have made him a little lower than yourself. So the man God created was only a little lower. Let's go back to Psalm 8, verse 5. A little lower, not too much lower. Well, man has fallen to a place he is so far away from God. You should hear the way we pray, the way we sing. Lord, I may be 1,000 miles away, it feels today. We used to sing a song in the high school days. Lord, I am 1, Lord, I'm 2, Lord, I'm 3, Lord, I'm 4, Lord, I'm 5,000 miles away from home. You remember those songs? Why are you not in choir with us? If I miss your way, dear Lord. You didn't know the songs. When were you born? I don't want to sing the song. And you know what? We were so helpless. When a young 15-year-old boy sings a song, Lord, I am 1, Lord, I'm 2, Lord, I'm 3, Lord, I'm 4, Lord, I'm 5,000 miles away from you. That's how I was invited to churchianity. They made me know I'm 1,000 miles away from God. No wonder when we are praying, we pray, oh, God. Because you know you are praying for 1,000 miles away. That's not this church. That's not the triumphant church. And you know, there's so much religion in our head, my friends. That's why the world doesn't respect us. Two things will show who a man really is. Number one is how he eats. Number two is how he prays. If I wanted to know who you are, I just need to be next to where you are praying and listen to how you are praying, or sit away from you as you are eating. Bishop yesterday made fun and said they went to Congo. Just two of them, and a whole animal was slaughtered and placed on the tray for just two hungry Kenyan bishops. You know, I talked to them about healthy eating yesterday. I think that's why he was making a comment. And he said, oh God, we are here. And it, the meat, it is here. Thank you. What did you make of it, my friend? You know, there is a way kings eat. Or sons of a king. Son of a king knows I don't have to take breakfast, lunch, and supper in one sitting because daddy has enough food. I don't have no money, I will go to any shop and I will say I'm the son of the king and it will be their joy to serve me for free. But because of the orphan culture, the orphan, hey, it flies with what it has swallowed. And so we like to take breakfast, lunch, and supper in one single sitting. These are mindsets we must deconstruct. To come back to this place where we are only a little lower, that gap should not be too big. And I will explain this a little lower. Actually, God meant to say, let's create a man who is our son. That the difference there will be between us and him is the fact that we birthed him. You know, your son or daughter is a little lower than you. But that does not mean they are lesser human beings. That doesn't mean they will understand chemistry worse than you did. In fact, they may become better than you in understanding some of the... Some ladies here failed in mathematics. Falling flat. But your daughter will be a mathematics major. So you can't say they are a little lower than you because they can't understand math. If I got an F, they'll get a G sharp. No. Let me get an A. A little lower means, let's create man, he will be our son. Your son is a little lower than you. Psalm chapter 8 actually describes Adam. Who is man? You have made him a little lower. You have crowned him with glory. Look at the next verse. Thou makest him to have dominion. What did God give to Adam after creating him? Let them have dominion. You have made him to have dominion over all your works. You have put all things under his feet. That's Adam. Next verse. And all sheep, oxen, yeah, the beast of the field. Verse 8. The birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever. He is actually describing the mandate God gave. The dominion mandate God, the triumph mandate given to the first man. Verse 9. O Jehovah, O our Lord, how excellent is your name. But how is his name excellent in the earth? His name is contained in that man. You know, God has given us his name. That's why we call sons of. He gave us his name. All my daughters, Jewel Wangare, Nganga, Joanna Modoni, Nganga, Juanita Gates, Nganga, I have given them my name. They are the custodians of my name. My name is being mentioned right now in school as they are playing hockey. Hey, Nganga, Nganga. My wife, I gave her my name. Have you met the famous Dr. Lucy? She's called Lucy who? Lucy Nganga. This is the one. I've given her my name. She's a little lower than me. I've given her my name. Now, this is the mind of God. The mind of God was, in man, God would be represented. And that's why man then would not be, God would not reproduce another God, Father, Son, Spirit, and maybe another creature. But Father, Son, Spirit would produce Son of God that is called man. So he cannot be equal to and with God. But he is connected to God. My daughters can never be equal to me. They may drive bigger cars. I don't know what's going to happen to their lives. I pray for them daily. But they will never be equal. They will always be a little lower than me. Is that clear? Now that should inform our thinking as we think about the triumphant church. And we'll get shocking yet very fundamental truths from the Bible in terms of how the church should be the reflection of God's operation, but in the earth. How God operates in the heavenly realm, which is spiritual realm, is how man should operate in the earth. And that's why God said, let's create him in our image. That's a pointer to his character. And our likeness, a pointer to his operating system. So we're not only being built in the image, but also after the likeness. The triumphant church does not only carry the image of God, we've been teaching on that for a long time, but the triumphant church operates like God. In our image and after our likeness. The triumphant church does not only bear the image of God, but also operates following God's pattern in the earth. We cannot understand the triumphant church if we don't study God. And we cannot study God through theology. We study God through Christology. That's what the question Jose was asking earlier on, is with all the Bible schools and all the Bible school graduates we have, how come they have not made an impact? The answer is, we made a mistake. We thought that we can study God by studying God. But God knows better than we do. God knew we can only study God by studying Christ. No one can bypass Christ and know God. He is the one that became God incarnate, became God Emmanuel, became God in the flesh. And the little or much we can never know about God, who is spirit, is what we will decipher through Christ when God became visibilized in the earth. And most Bible schools have Christology as one of their units taught in one of the terms. At least we went through something of that. Because theology is a bigger thing. But you know, according to God, if we would study Christ, we would know God. We can never know God by studying God. Let me show you that verse before we go. Matthew 11, is it 25? No one knows the Father, no one knows the Son. Let's go back to 25. At that season, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding. Let's use the New King James Version. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son will reveal him. I want to show you that scripture. Our only hope of knowing the Father would be if we can know the Son. And no one knows the Son also apart from the Father. And time will fail me to go any further. I don't want to leave things hanging. I just should conclude at this point and tell you this. From the beginning, the church has always studied Christ, not God. Why? Because Christ is the mystery of God. The thing that is not knowable about God is locked up in Christ. So if we want to know God by studying God, we will never know him. This secret, this mystery, you know, God is mysterious. The Bible talks about the mystery of godliness in the book of Timothy. So this mystery, we will never know it until we crack the mystery. And the Bible says that the mystery of God is Christ. Christ is the mystery of God. So then, in studying the one who reveals the mystery, then we know what was hidden in the mystery about the one who is unknowable. The Son knows the Father. The Father knows the Son. No problem, no trouble about that. There's a fellowship in the Godhead. And that's the fellowship that must be exported into the church now. We've got to see a different functioning of the church. We have to have the image and also have the likeness in our operations. I was telling the church, the pastor's fellowship in Kiambu yesterday, that Kiambu County is the richest county in Kenya. General info, number two. Kiambu County is the third largest in terms of population. Comes just behind Nairobi and Kakamega. Some people want us to believe that Bungoma is also bigger. So whether third or fourth. But in terms of landmass, it's a very small one. Kiambu County has produced two presidents. We have had only four presidents. But out of the four, half, two came from Kiambu County. Then I was telling them, it is not fair that this is the richest county, but with the poorest church. We say it as it is in the natural, so it must be in the spirit. And we began a journey yesterday. And we began by challenging ourselves and saying, if the land can produce, and you know, the economy in Kiambu County is agri-based, it's actually agriculture. Now, we can export the same principle into the church and say the following. Is the church not God's farm? If the county got their wealth through farming, can we farm? Can we labor in this vineyard and produce in a spiritual sense so that Kiambu County can begin to export spiritual wealth to the rest of the counties? My own estimate is it's a different county, which is the richest county, spiritually speaking, in Kenya. But that other county that I think is the richest county spiritually is not the richest in terms of economy. It has never produced a president. It's not the home of the first family. But you know what? Oftentimes the church is okay to exist in a place and not even interrogate certain physical realities and use that to help them understand why God has situated in a certain place and then begin to up our game and open it in some certain way so that, listen to this, it cannot be true that a place has rivers of water and then the people in that place are thirsty. It defeats any logic. Why would God provide rivers in a place and they are all dying of thirst? And you know what? What was created physical, visible, in a sense, was supposed to open up, to be an eye-opener, to trigger faith within us, to reach out for certain achievable spiritual realities. And that's why, while as God created the whole earth, but there's this special garden called Eden, where God put man. Now, in Eden, you had like the demonstration farm. It was the apex. It was a special, while as he was to till the rest of the ground and take care of the animals and everything else. But God planted something that is, you know, Eden means delicate, delightful pleasure. God gave him something that like a demonstration to him of what he could turn the whole earth to become. While I'm saying all that and concluding, let me give you a picture to think about. The beginning of rising to triumph, according to me, from where we are now, we're going to be like the woman who had an issue of blood. For how many years? For 12 years. 12 is significant of many things in the Bible. Then that woman was in the crowd, in the multitude. The Bible says, coming from behind, that's Matthew 9, and pressing through the crowd. The triumphant church is a church that is going to press through the crowd. It's not enough now to have mob thinking, mob psychology, to just use the parameters people are using around us for success. You have to press through. To come to a place where there's no man between you and him, then you can touch the hem of his garment. And yet that touch is a touch of faith. For the woman said in her heart, if I may only touch his garment. And that garment, study Exodus 28, Exodus 35, Exodus 39, is a reminder of the garment of the high priest. And how that I taught that here some time ago, how that garment, hem of garment, was the mouth. And how that the other word for that hem or skirt of the garment is mouth. The Hebrew word is P-E-H, mouth. This woman symbolically wants to touch the hem, but she has an understanding that what I'm not touching is not just the clothes, but it's what the clothes represent. The clothes represent the mouth of the priest. What comes from the mouth of the priest. The triumphant church is a church that now will learn how to live by whatever he says. If he tells you go sell your house and relocate, you do it before you talk to the city council. We have now to begin to learn to live off the hem of his garment. We have to begin to learn to live from your lips are the hem of your garment. If you think your body is a garment, then your lips are the hem of your garment, your mouth. The triumphant church is the church, write this down, the triumphant church is the church that does not listen to any other voice or care about any other opinion. The triumphant church, these are heavy statements, the triumphant church is the church that does not listen to any other voice or care about any other opinion apart from the thus says the Lord. Victory begins at a point you make up your mind from this day, the 23rd of January 2018, only what he says matters. That will become my life, that I will become, that will become what I do, that will employ me fully and fully. That's the triumphant church. The triumphant church listen does not even listen to the economists like Chris Kirubi telling us when to invest or when not to. We could be investing in famine because the Lord said it. We are not sustained by the economists. We are not sustained by the governments. We are like Daniel, who can survive five different governments, five different kings, and they all die and leave us here. We prophesied some of them, they don't listen to us. We let them go their way, they die and leave us here. We are like Daniel. We are triumphant. We're going to reign in Babylon. We become presidents in Babylon. And there's no record in scriptures that people like Nebuchadnezzar really converted to become Christians. People like Pharaoh, there's no record. Pharaoh became a believer in Jehovah. There's no record. And Joseph was father too. Joseph was reigning over these men in a foreign land because he was living from the hem. I challenge you to dream big. I challenge you to hear whatever God wants you to do. And let me tell you, God does not want us to do small things. Small conferences, small meetings, buy small cars, build small houses. God wants dominion reflected. When people see what we do, they must say, in Mungu, this, you mean, this is so-and-so, daring to do this. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So prepare yourself for triumph. Remove the defeatist mentality. Some of us have failed so many times, like Hosea was alluding to. We have failed so many times until we think we are failures. There is a difference between failing and failure. There is a difference between failing, having failed, and becoming a failure. A failure is a person. It's a proper word that describes a noun. It's a noun. A failure. You can fail. That's a verb. That's an action. I failed. But when you agree that I'm a failure, you have made what, no, you have made your failure when you failed to become part of you. The church in our nation has failed so many times, few of us have a victorious mindset. Few of us can dare the king. Few of us think we are the ones to help the government. Most of us are looking for the day I'll meet the MCA in a compromise corner, where I can tell him, by the way, Mheshimiwa, saidia sisi, maskini ya Mungu. But the triumphant church is going to lend money to governments? Yeah? Oh, come on, listen to this. The triumphant church, listen to this. As opposed to laws and regulations that defeat the church, that victimize the church, antagonize the church, the triumphant church is going to write the laws. Oh, I don't get many amens. I know I'll get amens in March when the message will be very clear. The triumphant church writes the laws. Maybe not in parliament, but in the spirit. And I will show you that the triumphant church operates as a government. In fact, the coming together of the triumphant church like this is the convening of court. Every time we come, there's a decree we make. Whoever cares can come and hear what we say. Because whether they were here or not, what we say is going to affect them anyway.
That's why the press begin to come to the meetings, not because we invited them. They want to tell the nation what is about to happen. And you know what? That reality has been tested in Kenya not long ago. We have seen days where the press came to meetings to hear what the man of God has said to go and tell the president. I like what the church in Nigeria is doing right now. Most of these, the big guys are speaking against the Fulani, all that mess. Eh? And they are speaking openly. And I think some of the government guys are now listening to what these men are saying, and they know this is now getting dangerous. They will take the word back to the king. Are you hearing? The special branch will begin to invite themselves to our meetings because they know the things we say. We don't cast nobody, but the things we decree will affect who is the next governor of Kiambu County. Hallelujah. And, you know, I almost went into that yesterday, but is it the politics Hosea is trying to avoid? Maybe, maybe. That's the church I want to be part of, is the reigning, ruling church that is not subservient to the systems of men, including governments, but rather becomes a blessing by being the salt and being the light so that these democracies that have failed can work. Mr. Trump will need some triumphant church to help him now, otherwise he'll be impeached. He's going to abuse a few more people and he'll find himself in trouble. But I think he surrounded himself with pastors and preachers. What are they doing? They should show him. His name is Trump, is it not? They should tell him, Mr. Trump. Trumpet, eh? Not Trump. Hapo dipo mimi nimesimamia. Na hapo dipo niko. Hapo dipo ufunuo umenifikicha. Kushindwa, mimi sitashindwa tena. Sijui kama wewe ni namna gani. Mimi nishaamua. The only time nitashindwa na mtu ni tukio kwa jam, mtu ananipita vibaya na mkubali aende. Although I may decide to teach him a lesson when the road clears. Namna gani? Triumph. This defeated church that is seeking for favors from the MCA, I quit. Amen. I quit. You know what church I want to be a part of? It's the church where the king seeks for an appointment. Oh, men of God, avert trouble for me. Deal with my leprosy. And we are so busy reading the apostolic doctrine, we cannot find time to go lay hands. We just tell the usher, tell him to go and dip himself in a safari park swimming pool. Hey, not Nairobi River. Hey. We are honorable. Not Nairobi River. Safari park. That's the church I belong to. Raise your hand and say, I belong to the triumphant church. I belong to the triumphant church. Say, I am victorious because God has made me only a little lower than himself. And what God can do, I can do. Most Christians think, and they say it, what God can do, no man can do. That's not the Bible. The Bible is, whatever God can do, he should leave it to man. God will just be flagging us off. God can run. But why should he run? He should just flag, because but why should God leave heaven to come and fight some demons in Kawangware? You slaughter them. Simameni mwene nyumbani. Let us finish. The battle is the Lord's, I know that. But the Lord does not practically come and tell devils leave. It's Paul. It's Peter. It's their shadow. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you. I'm on fire. I pray everyone here will be on fire. May we begin to see the place of reigning and ruling with Christ in our areas and our various jurisdictions, in our ministries, in our cities, in our estates. Oh, God, play some music over there. Help us, Jesus, to know we are not victims, we are victors. We are not being conquered, we are more than conquerors. Oh, Lord, we are not survivors, we are sons of God. We are triumphant in Christ. Karoko roko rama kata roko. Eh la 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 ye le 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 bosana man le 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 solo lo lo la la la. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Bless your name, Lord. If you can stand on your feet, if you can raise up your hands, if you can raise your voice, prophesy, man of God. It was for victory and liberty and freedom that Christ has set us free. Victorious in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Teach me, O God, how to activate faith. Teach me, O God, how to walk by faith. Teach me, O God, how to activate faith. Teach me, O God, how to function in the spirit of faith. La 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 van de re re vos. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Raise those hands and worship the Lord for the victory he will give you throughout 2018. Ora raman de re re vos sararabos. Everyone, raise your hand and worship the Lord for victory in your family, in your church, in your ministry, in your family, in your business. Oh, proclaim yourself more than conqueror. I am more than conqueror through Christ. More than a conqueror. Karosaka, Charabokasa, more than a conqueror through Christ. Through Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Aye, hey, hey. Karokoto, Karoka, Seketerebu. As we go to new cities, new regions, new nations, new continents, more than a conqueror. We shall display the spirit of victory wherever we go. The spirit of victory. The spirit of victory. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Through Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror, a conqueror, a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Katoko do katoka ra katoko ro karo kare karo kara. Somebody pray in some tongues. Kurabo kereme katoro boke taro makatoro boke terere. I am more
more than a conqueror. Kilabasolo Moshilamana Maradawa. Hey, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Kalabolo. Listen. Two major faiths and religions that God has planted in our country, has allowed to be positioned in our country, so that we can demonstrate our triumphant procession. We're going to take a minute and pray that God will give us grace to bring these two religions down, Islam and Hinduism. And if you never knew, these two are sisters. These are related in the spirit realm, Hinduism and Islam. And the triumphant church, listen, the triumphant church is going to bring down these strongholds. Some of us will buy Hindu temples. Amen. Some of us will cause mosques to be brought down. We'll just pray and something will happen. The government will change policy and demolish certain. You know where they build mosques? Do you know where they build mosques? At any road, they build at the entry of any road, and they never build on the right side. They build on the left side. And if you know what left side means, then it means another thing. They never build on the right side. At the entrance of a road, on the left side. Before Bishop Lai moved to Bamburi, there was no mosque there. As soon as he began to build that big thing in Bamburi, a mosque at the entry of that place. It's Pastor Chris in Webuye. We visited his church the other day. You leave the main road, the Webuye Malaba Road. When you branch off that little road that leads to his house, on the left at the junction is a mosque. They want to be at the gate to control what happens. And whether you like it or not, they can affect even spiritual and angelic traffic to your place. Now, these two things, if the church in Kenya is triumphant, let's see a place where the church in Kenya takes this place that the Hindus and the Muslims seem to have taken in the spirit realm to infringe certain things. You must now know that Eastern religion, meditation, etc., has become so predominant that most CEOs in Nairobi here are practicing meditation. Now, that's the inference of the Eastern, the Hindu, and all of that. And you know, meditation is a big thing now in Nairobi. But I want us to raise hands and ask God for grace to help us to dislodge these two. Come on. Let's do it like more than conquerors. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Even in Kiambu town. Kiambu Kwahede. Let's pray that in our various cities and estates, the spiritual inference of the sons of Ishmael. Let's take our place. Come on, church. We are more than conquerors. Through Christ, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Kapo karabo katarabo de kerevera. I am more than a conqueror. La la la. We are more. Oh, we are more than a conqueror through Christ. And also, oh, we are more than a conqueror in Christ. Oh, we are more than a conqueror. Oh, I am more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. Let's appreciate our Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. An overcoming church. Amen. That overcoming church. We want to be part of it. And we thank God for that word. I feel that we are now entering into our real season, 2018. Let's appreciate James for that wonderful ministry this morning.